to all of you this morning in Jesus' name. Does anybody remember the last word that Josh said in his presentation Wednesday night before he said, let's have a last song? Anybody remember the last word? Well, I was trending towards that topic, and so it caught my attention, and so I'll give you a pass on that. His last word was humility. And that stuck with me because there's some things that I've come to be aware of in the past couple of weeks that have made me think about humility and how we think, and how we can think that something is so right, and what we're doing is right. But if we look into history, we see places and people who made some horrible choices, and they worshiped the God. Humility. We love to see it in other people, right? In a town on the seacoast, in Ghana is a town, Elmina. And the Elmina Castle was built by the Portuguese in 1482. It was prefabbed, it was put together, and then brought in there. It was built very, very quickly. And the Portuguese ran it for about close to 200 years before the Dutch took it away from them. This castle was built for two purposes: trade and to spread Christianity. In the center of this castle, the Portuguese built a structure of its own, and that was their church that they worshipped in to begin with. But as the sugar demands of the world grew, as did the need for laborers, and the Portuguese decided that they would trade slaves to that castle. In that castle that we toured, there is the door of no return. There is a place where the women were held and a place where the men were held. They were held in separate places in that castle. For 3 months, they were bound by chains, and most of them slept in their own urine and feces. As we toured the castle, we came into a room, maybe about half the size of this auditorium, about 30 by 40, something like that. And our guide said, this is where the Portuguese worshipped. And below them were the men. Above a doorway that overlooks the sea harbor where the ships would come in and take the slaves away to various countries. Above the doorway is an inscription, Psalms 132, verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. To say that I wasn't conflicted with emotions would be an understatement. To think of the emotional and physical abuse that these white slave traders put thousands of black people through. And the abuse was worse for women, as is indicated by the natives there who have blue eyes. How could these people think what they were doing was right? How could they worship their God? How could they sing praises to him? Well, we're going to get a little bit closer to home. In Mississippi, there's a tombstone. And on the tombstone, it says, here lies J.H.S. In his lifetime, he killed 99 Indians and lived in the blessed hope of making it 100. Until he fell asleep in the arms of Jesus. Well, we look at those people, and how could you reason to kill 99 Indians and have the blessed hope of resting in the arms of Jesus? How could someone be so wrong in his thinking? It's true, I don't know what J.H.S. thought for himself, but this is what his tombstone reads. So I'm going to get really, really close now. And this is something that I've heard about before. I have a great article that I read, and it just made me think about something that maybe some of us have been involved in or think it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to suggest, well, I'm just going to lay it out, and you can ponder this for yourself. My sister, Charlie, who lives in Ghana, she laments how many women are out of jobs in Ghana because of the clothes of white dead people, as they call it in Africa. Secondhand clothing that is shipped into Africa. There's six countries in West Africa right now that are trying to ban secondhand clothing from reaching their shores, their borders. It has put a lot of people out of jobs. The art of seamstress and sewing is being lost. I'll let you decide what you think is right. I know what I've thought in the past, but when I heard my sister lament, I've had to rethink that. Is that the best thing for countries to do, to export our seconds and hurt small local economies in that country? Well, it's been sort of morbid up to this point. Turn with me to Genesis 13. I want to read a story about Abraham and Lot. And as I thought about humility, and I often think about this story of Abraham and his nephew Lot, and the exceeding wealth that Abraham had, and probably, I would say, it looked as if Abraham probably had the right to make the first choice when they decided which way to go. But Abraham deferred. We'll start reading. Maybe we'll start reading in verse 5 of Genesis 13. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceeding. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, for which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. What a beautiful story of humility that was displayed by Abraham here, and how God rewarded his choices in his life. I'd like to read Matthew 5, 1 through 12, as a group of people this morning. Turn with me to Matthew 5, 1 to 12. This New Testament reading, as you go down through here, I just want you to know, because we'll pray right after we read this. But I want you to note in these 12 verses, there is no room for pride as you go down through here. It is about humility. It is about giving up of your spirit to what God asks you to do. Blessed, blessed, blessed are these people, he says over and over. And to be fair, it hasn't always been easy for me to be humble. Humility is probably, that's why I'm talking to you about it, because it's a necessary part of my life. And I was just reminded of a weakness of mine. Last week, I happened to come upon someone's social media page. It was open. And I recognized the names of the people. But the conflict in that writing and ideas left me pondering, where was humility? And it reminded me of why I won't and why I don't. Let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, you can read with me. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, you spoke these very words not only to the people that heard them when you spoke them, but to us today in the 21st century. Lord, I pray that as we consider what you want from your people, as humility affects all areas of our life, I pray that we would be willing to give up those areas that are hard for each one of us. And I pray that you would just help us to take these words in Matthew and to understand what it is and how you want us to live out these words. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be careful in how we think what is right. Sometimes, dear Lord, We understand that what we think and how things should be done maybe weren't right. And I ask that you would give us wisdom. And we ask that the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us as we walk this life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.